Welcome back, everybody. Episode 64, and I am joined by Mr. C. Kyler. Welcome.
Thank you.
This is our first podcast that we've done together.
No, we did one on...
Did we do another one?
Yeah, we did. I'm trying to remember what it was.
It was clearly a memorable one.
Yeah.
For us both.
It was a designed one, I believe, so...
Well, here we are again, and we thought it might be interesting to talk about a hobby that Mr. C and I both share, and that is a love of music and specifically playing the guitar.
Yes.
So maybe a guitar-focused conversation today. And we had recently, I'm going to start by just a quick anecdote. And for me, this kind of got me back into playing guitar, I think, a little bit more. Because I kind of
I do too.
I drop in and drop out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Depending on kind of what's going on.
It's because we're not touring musicians.
That's right. That's right. We spend all our time here designing for our wonderful clients.
Right. That's right.
No, but I've played guitar since I think I picked it up in probably eighth grade, I think. What about you?
My dad got me a guitar when I was eight.
Okay.
Started taking lessons.
So you started taking lessons pretty early.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty early.
So, and we'll get back to that in a minute, but quick, fun anecdote. So we have a client that we work with and we've worked with for years and, who shall remain nameless for purposes of the story.
Sure.
But I guess was it about a year ago? I guess it was.
Yeah, it was, I want to say it was last summer.
Yeah, maybe it was, that feels right. That feels right.
I feel like the weather was warm.
Because the weather was warm.
Yeah.
I remember it being warm. So a client reached out to me and said, "Hey, I know that that you play guitar, and you have an interest in guitars, and my father had passed away, I think, 6 months prior, and she let me know that he left me this guitar collection,
right?
And I don't know anything about guitars, and I don't really know what to do with it. I'm wondering if you'd be interested in taking a look and maybe kind of helping me out." Figuring out what to do with it.
Yeah.
I said, "Sure, great. Sounds great. Take a look." So the first thing that came over was a Dropbox link.
Right.
And that I got. And I think there were probably images of, I think there were probably 20 in that first.
Yeah, something like that.
I think it was like 20. And I got the link and I was like, "Whoa, there's some really good stuff in here."
Yeah, she took pictures of some of the, more name.
The Gibsons.
Fenders.
And the Fenders. Yeah. And some of the sort of, there was some really nice stuff there. And it was a nice range of like, oh, here's a nice 60s, I think Strat was in there. And
there were some Strats, some Tellys.
Some Les Pauls.
I think there was a Les Paul and a couple SGs. A couple of the SGs were the old ones.
Yeah, a couple of the real SGs. Yeah. So a lot of Gibsons and Fenders, but some really cool stuff. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. So I immediately, and Kyler used to work at Guitar Center.
Yeah. For a couple of years.
A couple of years there. So I was like, dude, you got to see this. Like, this is kind of amazing. So we immediately started to look through that and got back in touch with her. And she was like, oh, well, that's kind of only the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more.
Right.
Do you want to come out and take a look? And we said, yeah,
and then we started taking field trips.
And that's, then we started a series of field trips out to her father's house. And lo and behold, you walk downstairs and it was, I've never seen anything like it.
Nor have I.
I think at the end of the day, there were, I think once we kind of cataloged everything and helped her catalog everything, I think there were 108 guitars.
Yeah. I know there total. Was, I want to say it was like 115.
Might have been. It was over 100.
Yeah. It was definitely over
100 guitars. Yeah. And I mean, it ran, and not only guitars, but there was a full drum kit in there.
Yeah.
There were bongos in there.
Right.
There were keyboards in there.
Keyboards.
There were amps everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, pedals everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, it was...
In multiple rooms.
Rooms. Right. Yeah. And then in the very back room, because I remember we walked into the front room and it was like, oh my gosh. Like,
yeah, that was the jam room.
That was the jam room. Walls lined with guitars, racks full of guitars. And she was like, oh, well, come back in the back room. And then you walked into the back room, and that's where the good stuff was.
Yeah. And most of that was all in cases, which was good because.
Which was nice. Yeah.
Because the ones that weren't in as good of a condition.
Right. And it kind of ran the gamut, this collection of, $200-$300 guitars.
Oh yeah.
All the way up to, again, some of those older Gibsons that we found there. So, it was pretty amazing. I mean, it was like walking into Disney World or something. Yeah. For me, it was just like
a dusty Disney World.
It was pretty incredible. But yeah. So long story short, fast forward, we sort of helped her and we brokered an intro to a guitar shop here in town, not Guitar Center, but a local,
right,
kind of locally owned shop that's been around forever. And I think she sold a bunch on consignment and we ended up buying a bunch of guitars.
Yep.
We've got a bunch of them in our office now. I think there's five on the wall.
Yeah. Including a double neck that will never be tuned or restrung.
A BC Rich, is it a Warlock or is it a Bitch?
It's a Bitch.
It's a BC Rich Bitch.
Double neck.
12-string
and 6-string. 12-string
and 6-string.
Yeah.
For those of you who know, then you know. If you don't, go look it up. It is the most metal-looking 80s metal weird guitar ever. But anyway, so we all ended up, and Don ended up with a cool bass out of the deal and the drum kit.
And the drum kit for Kirby. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And you ended up with
a Fender Strat Fiesta Red.
You got a nice Strat out of the deal.
Yeah, that was a good, in really good condition.
I got a great Les Paul out of the deal and a Flying V out of the deal.
Yeah. The Les Paul Standard though, that's really a beaut.
Yeah. Yeah. Super, super nice. So anyway, that sparked for me, I'll call it a renaissance.
Yes.
a renaissance. But I kind of got back into playing, and then I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole and bought some new amps and some things like that. And it's been super fun to sort of pick that up again. All right, so back your guitar experience. Do you remember your first guitars and what were you into?
So the first guitar I ever got, it was a Christmas present, and my dad got me, or maybe it was Santa. I'm not sure.
Right.
It was a 3/4 sized, so like a junior sized Applause, which is the lower tier, kind of the Epiphone version of an Ovation. So it had the, Lidecaine. I can't remember what the name of the material is. It's basically truck bed. On the back of those guitars.
Yeah. Did it have the rounded back like the Ovations do?
Yeah. It was a little cutaway, very playable.
Not electric though. Not acoustic electric.
No, he wanted me to learn on acoustic first.
Yeah. Because Ovations always had the acoustic electrics.
I know. Well, this was 98, so it wasn't as common to see the acoustic electrics at that point, I feel like.
Okay.
And then my first electric was an Epiphone. They called it at the time the LP100. They still make it. It's a Les Paul 100. It was just black.
Okay. Do you still have it?
No. I have almost none of the guitars that I used to own. They've all been sold for one thing or another, either to trade up or like in college just for stupid
reasons. You pawned them off, didn't you? Well, my first guitar was I was into the rock music and the metals. Mm-hmm. So my first guitar was a cherry red Ibanez EX360.
Okay, yeah, the EX, double cut.
Yep, super pointy.
Right, not a Strat body, but like a pointy version of an evolved
Strat body. Right. Right, that's exactly right.
Did it have the humbucker, single coil humbucker?
It had a Floyd Rose tremolo on it.
Right.
And it had, I think that's right.
Yeah. HSH, I guess is what they're calling
it. Yeah, I think that's right.
It's pretty common for the EXs.
I don't have it anymore. I don't know what happened to it. I think I smashed it.
Was it transparent cherry red or was it like a shiny?
It was like a shiny. That was my first guitar. And then when I was in high school, my father, I can't remember if it was my birthday or if it was a Christmas present, but my parents bought me a Fender Stratocaster Plus.
Is that the one you still have?
It's the one that I still.
Oh, okay,
It's the one that I still have. Cool. Just had it tuned up recently. I've still got that thing, and still play that.
Nice. I didn't realize you've had it that long.
Bought it new.
Wow.
Bought it brand new, and I actually have in my office the print ad, the original print ad of that.
For
I think it's an 89. Yeah. I think it was an 89. For that plus model, it's a blue to black sort of sunburst kind of.
Yeah, it's a. They tried out a couple new tricks on that guitar.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And the pickups are really nice.
The lace sensor. It's got the lace sensor pickups on it. Locking tuners.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty sweet ride.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
All right. So what do you have now? What's in your collection now?
So now I've got that Strat.
Okay.
I've got a Gibson Les Paul Traditional 2013. Now they're calling that the... Gibson Les Paul Standard 50s.
Okay.
So they switched from the traditional and standard to there being two types of standards. I think the traditional started in 2010, so it's one of the earlier models. Let's see, what else do I have? I have a bunch of parts for Strats. I have a Strat that I have yet to complete.
Well, you've been building them?
Yeah, yeah.
Over the years?
Yeah, because, you know, Strats are super easy to put together yourself, basically.
Yeah, I've never built a guitar.
And for any of you out there that want to, there's a great website called warmoth.com, W-A-R-M-O-T-H.
What's that? Like just a how-to?
Just kinda parts.
Oh, parts.
Yeah, you can get like really nice custom stuff. You can fill out exactly what you want. They'll build it for you, or they have a lot of stuff in stock.
Nice.
They have more for Strat bodies, but they have everything from, you know, Strat to crazy like Randy Rhoads bodies and shit like that.
Speaking of Randy Rhoads, so part of what I got out of that collection that we were talking about was that Flying V, that Gibson Flying V.
Yeah.
I always think of Randy Rhoads.
Yeah.
When I think of Flying Vs, and it is an interesting guitar to play.
Yeah. It's not one you sit down with too
not
easily.
Not a sit down.
Yeah.
If you sit down, you almost got to hold it upright. And it's the only way to sort of position it.
You kind of straddle it. You let it straddle you.
It sits on your lap. It straddles your lap.
Right.
An interesting guitar to play.
And Don got a Flying V as well. Also Gibson.
Did he get a Flying V?
Yeah, remember
as well?
He got that like worn cherry. It's like a flat finish matte finish.
Right. Yeah, we all made out like bandits.
Yeah,
on
we
that
did.
One.
We
and
did.
Then you turned me on to orange.
Yeah, yeah. And then you picked up that Rocker Verb 15.
Yeah,
right.
And it is awesome.
Yeah, it's a great amp.
And you talk about like just from a forget the sound, forget the quality and all that stuff, which is top notch of that.
Yeah.
But just the brand in and of itself.
Yeah,
from like a design aesthetic,
yeah.
If we want to round the corner a little bit, is amazing.
Yeah, they have one of the great like iconic look, easily identifiable. They're the only amp company that looks like that.
Yeah,
and they back it up with great vintage tone, and I would argue it's probably the best amp company in terms of if you're a purist. You know, a lot of other companies with their solid state amps have gone to digital effects and all kinds of different things. And Orange has always kept it really simple. And I think that if you're someone who doesn't really like loading up tons of digital effects within the amp and you really want to use all that outboard, Orange is the way to go for sure.
I tend to agree. And I've got both. I've got a Fender Mustang amp that's got
every preset
you could ever. I mean, I think it came loaded with 100 and something.
Right.
Presets.
And those can be really convenient and fun to play around with, for sure.
If you want to just jump back and forth to random sounds and whatever else, it's fun to jam with. But I agree with you, as a purist, because then you get into like, all right, now we're going to build out the board.
Yeah, then you can always add what you want.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it's going through good speakers with good tubes, you know, you can get
you're in a good spot.
The true sound.
All right, give me an anecdote about working at Guitar Center. And it doesn't even have to be a specific story, but the good, the bad, the ugly.
I'll give you a story.
All right, give me one.
All right. So oddly enough, another guy who was kind of like the person whose basement we were talking about, who started to kind of come in and buy a bunch of different like cheaper things, or if it was on the discount rack, he would be interested in it. And he was building out like a garage, like studio slash...
Jam room,
yeah, for his son and everything. And it was Javi Lopez of the Atlanta Braves.
Of the Braves.
He used to come in all the time. And we had the hardest time talking him into a Gibson Les Paul. He kept wanting the Epiphones. And we were like, you know, it's really
you gotta go
nothing
the
against
Gibson.
Epiphone. But, you know, it, compared to the Gibson, it's more of a toy. And
he's making money.
Yeah. Well, you know he has money.
He's making money.
And I mean, baseball players didn't make what they make now, but he's doing fine.
He can buy the Les Paul.
And we finally talked him into getting a Gibson Les Paul Studio, which, if you know, is like the cheapest.
It's like the low. It's like the entry level.
The body's thinner. There's way less decorative elements to it, but. It was weird. It turned out to be a really nice guy, and we would get some Brave, talks in there every now and again. Big dude.
Big dude.
But yeah, he was all about just finding guitar deals. Like if there was a guitar that had like a little nick in it and we had taken like $200 off, he would buy it.
That's
he would
so
walk out with like three guitars, him and his sons all the time.
That's great. Well, it's a super fun hobby. And what I love about it too is that like I love how I love I mean, everybody loves high-end guitars that plays guitars, but I love owning like a Les Paul, you know, like having a Les Paul, because you know it's going to, well, it's going to sustain for days.
Yeah.
But you're going to hold on to it for decades, forever. Yeah.
I never want to get rid of my Les Paul.
No.
I've sold enough guitars in my time. Like now, at a different point in my life, I'm not going to, because at pawn shops, I mean, dude.
All right. I'm going to ask you a question.
What?
For the rest of your life, you can own one guitar, one of two guitars, and it's either going to be a Fender Strat or a Gibson Les Paul. What are you picking?
That's tough.
I need an answer.
I guess I would go with the Les Paul. I prefer playing my Les Paul.
I would tend to agree with you.
But it's tough. I mean, that's
nothing against Fender.
It's a Sophie's Choice of guitars.
Nothing against Fender. It's an amazing guitar. But if I had to pick one, I think I would go with the Les Paul. And I don't know if that's because it's newer to me, so it's like a new girlfriend or something.
I find
like that.
It a little bit smoother to play.
Yeah,
you know, the scale is a little bit shorter.
Yep.
It's just a little bit easier to play, I guess.
It's more solid too. It's heavier.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to me, it sits a little bit heavier.
It's got a fuller tone, obviously, with the humbuckers.
Yeah.
That said, if you're having one guitar for the rest of your life and the neck on that Gibson breaks, you got a real issue versus a real Strat. You can keep, switching out parts or switching out pickups and whatever,
All right. Well, cool. Well, I think that does it for today. Interesting talk. I know that we could probably sit here for another 3 hours and
bore
the audience with our guitar talk. But all right. Very good. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. And of course, check us out online at mocktheagency.com or on the socials at Mock the Agency. And maybe on the socials, we'll post a few pictures of our guitars and stuff in case you happen to want to check them out. So anyway, reach out and we'll talk to you next time.